This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further in 1 Timothy with one mediator, I do not permit a woman to teach, on bishops, on deacons, and mystery of godliness. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy on us.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
I believe.
Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, every once in a while, we run into a biblical text that not only by its message, but by the very density of its phraseology, reminds us that the Bible speaks of realities, and that these realities are as hard as marble and unbending as iron. And that's true of our text today. It speaks of a reality. It's the reality of a priesthood. And that priesthood consists of you and of me, and of all the baptized who dare to approach the altar of fire, which we call the Lord's Supper. Consider the language of this text, which has just been read to you. It begins with a therefore. Therefore, from what? Where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is no longer need for a sacrifice. So our priesthood is instantiated, based upon, even one might say participates in, the sacrificial priesthood of our Savior Christ Jesus. And so our text describes us like this: having therefore a bold confidence. Picture, if you will, the altar here as the altar of sacrifice, the Holy of Holies, and there's a curtain. You don't see it now, that altar, because there's a curtain in front of it through which you must pass. And what gives you the right to pass through that curtain? Well, our text tells us, having a bold confidence to enter into the entryway. That's how the Greek goes. To enter into the entryway. You're now a priest. who has been sanctified. That is to say, made ready and holy so that you can offer the service of sacrifice. And so with a boldness rooted in the sanctification which you possess by way of the forgiveness of sins, be bold to enter into the pathway that leads to that altar. Therefore, having by the blood of Jesus a boldness as we enter into the pathway toward the holy things. Which pathway Jesus inaugurated for us? The language there is the Greek enkinizo. It doesn't really mean opened, like the ESV says. I think it's a play upon the Jewish festival of Hanukkah, in which the inauguration of the altar, after it's been defiled by the Gentiles of Antiochus Epiphanes, that altar was made holy again by its sanctification, and so sacrifice could be renewed, right? Established once again, inaugurated once again. And so Christ has inaugurated for us this way, which is new and living through that curtain, which is his flesh. It's a remarkable phraseology, isn't it? If you still visualize for yourself the curtain through which you must pass, it is by way of the flesh of Jesus and his blood that you do so. Right? It's a strange image in many ways. That Christ is sacrifice, he's way, he's curtain, he's finally altar, he's sacrifice, he's all of those things. But our text continues. And indeed, since we have such a high priest over the house of God, well, that's descriptive of who we are and how we get there. And so now we have three exhortatives. Let us approach. Let us come near and to that altar through that curtain, which is the flesh of our Savior. And let us do so with a holy and true heart, in the full confidence of faith. And how is that true heart established? How does that come about? For we are those who have been sprinkled, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. It's baptismal talk. You've been made ready for priesthood when you came out of the font. And we are those who have been washed, namely our body, with cleansing waters. You're pure, O priests, as you approach this. Your sins have been laid aside by the sacrifice of your Savior. So you can have boldness coming towards the Holy of Holies, where God sits enthroned. Let us hold fast then also the confession of our hope, and let that confession be akline, unbending. It's not going to give way to temptation. It's not going to give way because of persecution. It's unbending. There's the language of a reality as strong as steel. And let us consider each other, how we might provoke. It's an interesting term. Yes, the ESV says stir up, but that's like making a chocolate cake, right? No, it means to provoke, point them in the ribs, as it were. We're going up there, and so our service will be love and good works. Our sacrifices will be nothing other than ourselves lived out in love and good works. So this priesthood that you and I are is not simply something we do. It's not simply a function. It is indeed the identity we have. We are these priests, such priests. And therefore, there's a difficulty if we lay that aside. And so, because this author of ours sees our priesthood as something strong and unbending, there's a problem if we continue to sin. And call into question our priesthood. And so just as he is strong to note who we are as priests, he doesn't flinch to let us know the problem should we continue to sin and lay aside, as it were, our priesthood. And not only just to lay it aside, but to besmirch it by activity that is arrogant toward God. Here's how he puts it. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse than it's going to be for that one who tramples underfoot the Son of God, thinks of the Son of God as dirt under his sandals, and regards the blood of God, the blood of Christ, as profane, like blood in a butcher shop, and causes the Spirit of grace by which we were endowed in our baptism to be ridiculed, to cause the Spirit to be an object of mockery. And then a warning, of course, God's punishment is his own, and he holds even the hand of judgment over his own people. Well, there you are. That's kind of the place where we are. That's who we are, who by God's grace and favor we must continue to be. And of course, by prayer and fasting, mutual consolation, to remain steadfast, unbending in it. And so we come to the figure of today's festival, St. Ignatius of Antioch. I like this guy. I remember when I was a student down at St. Louis long ago. He was the object of my bachelor's thesis. So I've been reading Ignatius rather a long time. And I'm always amazed. Here's a guy who wedded together his service as bishop with his own coming martyrdom. You sometimes have to read between the lines of his letters. But I think he would say something like this if he were to summarize what his seven letters fundamentally want to say. And this maybe be relevant to all of you who wish to be pastors and deaconesses. He might say something like this about himself. Why it is that we have a festival that honors St. Ignatius of Antioch. He might say something like this. I serve at the altar where the sacrifice of Jesus is offered and administered. I am his priest there. And so my entire being as bishop, it's not a job. It's not 8-to-5 employment. I am the one who serves at the altar. And that defines my identity. And so my whole ministry is wrapped up in that service of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, my God. Interestingly, more than any New Testament writer, St. Ignatius has no problem talking about the crucified Jesus as his God. The sacrifice of God, the giving over of God for us in the sacrifice of Jesus, that is my service. And if I'm going to be true to my own self as bishop, then should I be called upon to render sacrifice to God by way of my own martyrdom, I will, in fact, do it. Because in that martyrdom, my identity is fully disclosed as one who is clothed with the love of Christ Jesus, his flesh and his blood. Not surprisingly, St. Ignatius can speak of his martyrdom as his being ground into fine flour, as though he were Eucharistic bread. Well, I don't know whether St. Augustine had Hebrews 10 in mind when he wrote his letters. I don't think he ever actually quotes Hebrews. But I think if he read Hebrews 10, he would say, that's who I am, and that's what I do. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I see the stars by day.
Cry to you, O Lord.
In the morning my prayer comes before you.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the Holy Spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I'll bless you. By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness.
O God, our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth, and of our seas.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, whose grace always precedes and follows us, help us to forsake all trust in earthly gain and to find in you our heavenly treasure. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty and gracious Father, who is always merciful, visit with your fatherly correction all who have erred and gone astray from your truth, of your holy word, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.